verse 17 is where we're going to start. And maybe just to say that Jude is now going to get practical. Up until now, we've been talking about contending for the faith, and we've been talking about what false teachers look like. But now he wants to get practical. He wants to equip you with what you need to contend for your faith. And he does it by giving us five imperatives. Imperatives are just commands. Five commands. These are five things that you must do. And they're five commands, interestingly enough, in the present tense, which means that they are five things that you must do as a habitual life activity. This is how you are to conduct yourself if you are to be a person who's contending for the faith. Read verse 17, 18, and 19 with me in your Bibles, and we'll look at the first command. It says in verse 17, "But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit." First point of this morning's service is this: move to DEFCON 1. Move to DEFCON 1. DEFCON stands for Defense Readiness Condition. It is an alert state used by the United States Armed Forces. I'm guessing that you've heard it spoken about in the movies or on series. DEFCON prescribes five graduated levels of readiness for the United States military services. And it increases in severity from DEFCON 5, which is the least severe, to DEFCON 1, which is the most severe. The highest level, DEFCON 1, signals nuclear warfare. During the Yom Kippur War, as well as the September 11 attacks in the United States, the military moved to DEFCON 3. During the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Persian Gulf War, they moved to DEFCON 2. Central Baptist Church, we need to move to DEFCON 1. We're under imminent attack. The key to verses 17 to 19 is the command to remember. Remember the predictions. Jesus had said, many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders. See, I have told you beforehand. Paul, the apostle, had said, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. The apostle John had said, many false prophets have gone out into the world. The apostle Peter had said, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Jude is now saying they're here. False teachers are in our midst. The battle for the local church has begun. Three things about these false teachers that Jude speaks about. Number one, they run after ungodly passions. You can see that in the second part of verse 18. They present themselves as angels of light, but in actual fact, they are just children of their father, the devil. And as such, they love their sin more than they love Jesus. Secondly, Jude says that they cause divisions. You can see that in verse 19, the first half of verse 19. They stir up splits and schisms within local churches just like ours. The third thing that Jude says about them is that they are in fact devoid of the Spirit. And he says that in the second half of verse 19. They're worldly rather than spiritual. They are carnal rather than Christ-like. False teachers infiltrate the church. These wicked charlatans infiltrate churches just like ours. They've been here before, and they will be here again. Don't get caught off guard. Stand guard. Don't fall asleep on duty. Remain alert. Don't let your guard down. Be prepared, be ready, and be able to contend for the faith when the chips are down. Central Baptist Church, we need to move to DEFCON 1. Second point. We need to get combat ready. We need to get combat ready. You want to know how you contend for the faith? You don't wait for the battle to begin. You prepare for the battle that is going to come. Read verse 20 and 21 together with me in your Bibles. It says, but you. This is talking to you. It's not talking to your pastors, or they are included in the you. It's talking to us collectively. But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Around the world, nations train up special forces. The United Kingdom has the SAS. The United States has the Navy SEALs, the Delta Force, and the Green Berets. Russia has the Alpha Group. South Africa has the Rekkies. Each team is elite. Each team is specially selected. And each team is highly trained and highly specialized. Central Baptist Church, we need to take spiritual combat training and spiritual combat readiness more seriously. Friends, we are at war. And soon you will face combat, spiritual combat. You need to get ready now. You need to be prepared now. The key to verse 20 and 21 is the command to keep. You are to keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you go about keeping yourself in the love of God? How do you do that? By building, by praying, and by waiting. That's what Jude says. Firstly, he says by building. Jude says that you are to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. You can read that for yourself in the first half of verse 20. We are to hear the Bible. We are to read the Bible. We are to study the Bible. We are to memorize the Bible. We are to meditate upon the Bible. If we're to be combat ready, friends, we are to be scripture saturated. Paul warned the Ephesian elders about false teachers. You can read about that in Acts chapter 20. And then he went on and commended them to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What will build you up? The word of his grace. We have the word of his grace, the teachings of the apostles, 66 books of the Bible, 27 books in the New Testament. They are sufficient for all matters of life and for godliness. If we are to keep ourselves in the love of God, if we are to get combat ready, we are to be scripture saturated and built up by the word of his grace. Scripture builds the saint up. Melissa did a great job of teaching the kids. I hope you are paying attention. Can you remember the sword of the Spirit? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God. And to do that, we are to train ourselves to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Secondly, Jude says that we are to keep ourselves in the love of God by praying in the Holy Spirit. That's verse 20, the second half of verse 20, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, this prepositional phrase could be translated as praying by means of the Holy Spirit. It could be translated praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. It could be translated praying in the sphere of the Holy Spirit. It could be translated as praying in connection to the Holy Spirit. This isn't about the particular words that we use to pray to God. This is about how we pray to God. We are to pray continually in the Spirit. We are to pray depending upon the Spirit. We are to pray filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to pray controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. To keep ourselves in the love of God is to, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Thirdly, if we are to be combat ready, if we are to be prepared to contend for the faith, we're to wait. We're to wait. That's the third present participle, which is connected to that command to keep. Now, this is talking about eschatology. In actual fact, we can make that our word of the day. When you go home at lunch, make sure that you speak about eschatology. If you have snails for lunch, that's escargot. It's not eschatology. Okay, eschatology is the study of future things. It's the doctrine of future things. Future things matter. We are to live with eternity in mind. We are to live anticipating our Lord's return. We are to live with the welcome mat out in our heart. We are to always be ready for the return of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are to have the word Maranatha, amen, come Lord Jesus, come, always on our lips. To keep yourself in the love of God is to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Central Baptist Church, we need to take spiritual combat training and readiness more seriously. We're to move to DEFCON 1. We're to get combat ready. Thirdly, we're to take prisoners captive. That's the last three commands, but really it's one idea in verse 20 and 23. Read it together with me in your own Bibles, verse 22. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy, but with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. My grandfather fought in World War II. Lots of war metaphors today. My great-grandfather fought in World War I. He was a non-commissioned officer. My father has all of his medals, along with memorabilia from the Great War, in a box. And from time to time, I've gone through it. In fact, a few years ago, I read through his officer's handbook. There was a chapter on how to treat deserters. Shoot them. Quickly and publicly. How are we to treat Christian deserters, Christian drifters, Christian doubters? How are you to engage with your family, who you're thinking of right now, your friends, your spouse, your child, your parent who is struggling with the faith? Well, you're not to shoot them. Central Baptist Church, we are to be a salvation army. We are to take prisoners captive. The key to verse 22, and what's coming here is three commands in these two verses. But the key to verse 22 is the command to have mercy. Have mercy on doubters. We're to be a merciful army. Remember, and we've just gone through it, so I'm hoping you can. Remember Jude's prayer at the beginning of the letter. Cast your eye to verse 2. May mercy. May mercy. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. And what are we waiting for in verse 21? Read in your own Bibles in verse 21. The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Our spiritual lives are mercy from the beginning all the way through to the end. We who have received so much mercy from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, are to exercise mercy toward others. Believers doubt. Zechariah doubted that he would have a son in Luke chapter 1. Thomas doubted that Jesus rose from the dead in John chapter 20. John the Baptist doubted that Jesus was the one in Matthew chapter 11. Believers doubt. And when they do, we who are spiritually stronger are to act with mercy toward them. What does this kind of mercy look like? We pray, friends, for doubters. We pray with doubters. We send a WhatsApp voice note of prayer to doubters. We share a psalm with doubters. We send a sermon to doubters. We meet with doubters. We have a cup of coffee with doubters. We journey with doubters. We disciple doubters. We care for doubters. We bear doubters' burdens. We're patient with doubters. We speak the truth in love to doubters. We are kind and compassionate to doubters. We teach doubters. We comfort doubters. We encourage doubters. We exhort doubters. We have mercy toward doubters. But he's not just talking about doubters. He goes on into the text about those who have come to an end to their doubting. What about those who have begun drifting? How do you contend well for the faith with them? Judas says that we are not to contend with them. We are to contend for them. The key to verse 23a, the first half of verse 23a, is the command to save them. This is a present tense command. It's to be our habitual practice. We are to have a gospel lifestyle. We are to do everything we can to see souls saved. And little wonder, heaven and hell hang in the balance. This moment, men are being singed by the fires of hell. And if they are not saved, an eternal inferno will engulf them. They are in mortal danger. They will suffer eternal damnation. In September 1985, there was a pool party at the New Orleans Municipal Pool. It celebrated the first summer without a drowning at the pool. 200 people gathered, including 100 of them who were certified lifeguards. When the pool party broke up, the fully dressed body of Jerome Moody was discovered drowned in the deep end. Drowned, surrounded by lifeguards at a lifeguard party. That's my fear for you. Your duty is to save the lives of the people within your sphere of influence. But too often, instead of responding to their desperate need, you are enjoying life's party. And the guy drowning in the pool isn't some stranger that you've never met. He's your family. He's your friend. He's your spouse. He's your child. He's your parent. He's your... Think of their desperate need. Their hopeless separation from God. Friend, do not give up on them. They could still be snatched from the fire. Pray ardently for them. Speak earnestly to them, warn them urgently, lovingly encourage them, carefully exhort them, point them to a Savior who's mighty to save while there is still time. The Lord does not wish that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we must be eager to see souls saved. We must have an eager passion for winning souls. We are to evangelize the lost. We are to witness to the lost. We are to communicate the message of salvation to a world which is dying without it. But what about those who aren't just doubting? What about those who aren't just drifting? What about those who, for all intensive purposes, as far as we can see, have deserted? How should we respond to them? Are we to shoot them on the spot? The key to verse 23b is the command to have mercy. And again, this is an imperative. It's a command. Again, this is something that you must do. You must have mercy, and it's surprising. Maybe you thought that deserters were beyond redemption. Yet the text tells us that we are to contend for the faith by showing mercy, even to deserters. We want to see defiled men saved. And so despite their rejection of the truth, we show them mercy. How can we have and how can we show mercy toward those who are deserters? Carefully. This group needs to come with a warning label. We are to proceed, according to the text, with fear. Not a scared fear, but a careful fear. Healthcare professionals caring for Ebola patients wear personal protective equipment, PPE or PPI. It's what all the scandals are about at the moment. Single-use imperishable gowns. Double nitrile gloves, masks and face shields and surgical hoods, impenetrable, impermeable boot coverings. You're careful as you deal with Ebola. It's a careful kind of fear because you want to treat the patient, but nobody wants to catch Ebola. Central Baptist Church, we're to be a Salvation Army. We're to take prisoners captive. We to show mercy on those who desert. Are we to save those who drift? Are we to show mercy on those who are doubting? Those are the five imperatives in the text, and it's loaded with application for you as you come here today, member of Central Baptist Church. This is the guts of Jude's message to you. This is what he wants you to do. You go home with these five imperatives and you dwell on them and you think about them and then you put them into action. You don't put them on the shelf. You put them into action in your life and you live a life to the praise and to the glory of God. There's plenty of application here for believers. But what about you, doubter? What about you, drifter? What about you who are defiled? The good news this morning to you is by implication, God's mercy and his salvation is on offer to you this morning too. Do you doubt? Are you struggling with your faith? Or are you struggling for faith? There's hope in this text for you this morning. Have you drifted? Have you been looking for meaning in places other than God's word? Cultural beliefs and practices, the world and all that it has to offer, the spiritualism of this age, a religion contrary to the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Are you dabbling in danger? Are you positioned too near the fire? There is hope for you in this text this morning. Are you defiled? Have you left the faith? Do you think that you might be beyond Christ's reach? That your sin and your rebellion stack up so high against you that surely salvation has passed you by? Like Paul, who rebelled against God and described himself as the chief of sinners. Are you a great sinner? Good. It's time. There's hope for you this morning too. Hear from God's word to you this morning that mercy and salvation is proclaimed towards doubters and drifters and the defiled. You are not beyond the reach of God who is mighty to save. There was mercy enough for Thomas. There was mercy enough for John the Baptist. There was mercy enough for the Apostle Paul. There is mercy enough for you in the cross of Christ. To start with, the gospel message was never aimed at good people because they don't exist. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's me and that's you and that's everyone in this building. And while you might feel more wretched than the person that is sitting next to you, you are not. Not before God, because God is holy. And you are as unable to save yourself as anyone else who has ever lived. You are as desperate. You are as needy. The wages of your sin is as deadly as anyone else's sin. You deserve eternal separation from the love and from the mercy and from the grace of God. And that is dreadful news. But God, being rich in mercy, has made a way where there seemed to be no way. His mercy is stronger than darkness. It is new every morn. Our sins, they may be many, but his mercy is more. He has sent his son to die in your place, to bear his wrath that salvation might be offered to you today. Jesus Christ is the exclusive way to the Father. No one comes to the Father but through him. On the cross, as Jesus died, he died as the spotless lamb, the lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus appeased the wrath of God against sin, against your sin, against sinners just like you. Mercy has made a way where there seemed to be no way. Friend, repent. Do it at once. Repent from your wandering and come to the fold of God. Jesus will rescue you from your danger. Jesus Christ is a great savior for a great sinner just like yourself. Call on him. Cry out to him. You need him. Cast yourself upon him. Come to the cross of Jesus Christ this day and you will live every day forevermore. Amen.